Christmas is kind of over, right? Because the day has passed, all the stuff has happened. Then there may be some lingering things going on for some folks as we navigate the complications of multiple family members and multiple Christmases. But for the most part, and I think we'll see it, you know, as we continue on here, that you know, we move on. The world certainly moves on, and we keep on going here. But I think we want to maybe linger as a church. Invite us to linger a little bit longer here. These scriptures today from the lectionary, they invite us to slow down our pace a little bit more yet. And stay with this mystery of what happened on that day. What happened when God became a baby. This second Sunday after Christmas, it's not about sentiment or nostalgia. That's not where these scriptures lead us today. It's about meaning. It asks us to consider what the birth of Christ really set in motion. You know, like if you think of that event in the cosmic reality of it as a nuclear bomb blowing up, and then all the reverberations that are continuing even now. Each of these readings today spoke to people who know both promise and pain. Jeremiah proclaims joy to a people returning from exile. The psalmist praises God who heals broken hearts and gathers scattered people. Paul, in this great sentence from Ephesians, writes to believers who are learning what it means to belong to Christ. And John, in his gospel, invites us to lift our eyes beyond the manger to this eternal Word through whom all things were made. It's amazing. And so I think together these texts today tell one good story. It tells us that God is not finished with creation, and He's not finished with us. See, because you know, Christmas is not just a remembrance of His birth that happened a long time ago. All right, it's an announcement. It's an announcement of and a proclamation of God's ongoing work that continues today: restoration, healing, and renewal in Christ. God entered human history and human suffering, bringing light to darkness, order to chaos, hope to places of despair. That's what we see in this season. As we begin this new year now, these scriptures remind us that our lives are held in a much, much bigger story. We are that people. We are people that are gathered, healed, and chosen, and sent. Because the Word became flesh and has dwelt among us. So today we want to listen again, listen and hear how God continues to make all things new. That's a great theme. You know, the picture of a baby reminds us of that, right? New. Little Carlin. Brand new. Her whole life ahead of her. You start to imagine possibilities. What will she grow up to be? What will she do? What kind of a person should she be? What is she going to see in her lifetime? It's new. It's amazing. And in that same sort of way, in Christ, we experience that again. We are, right, born again. And in that new beginnings, there's all the possibilities, all of the ups and downs, all of the struggles, all of the joys, all of the sorrows, all of it. And we experience that anew in a different way in Christ as that baby came. He came to make things new again. And so, first off, in the Jeremiah reading, we saw this great promise, God's promise of restoration. And It was interesting this week. What I did this week, I hadn't done so much before, but each morning, I just read through these four scriptures. Just read them through every morning. And yeah, this Jeremiah one just started to really grow on me. It's quite amazing. All of this picture of restoration that he gives to us. Jeremiah was speaking to people who knew displacement, knew exile, knew suffering, had been cast out, were living under the judgment of God, struggling, and yet hanging on to a promise, but not knowing when it was going to come. And into that reality, into exile and suffering, God spoke a word that maybe seemed almost impossible. He tells them, sing aloud with gladness. And then we go through this whole list of things that he did. He ransomed them. He gathered them, all of them. This is not naive optimism. This is a rock solid promise and reminder of what is happening. It's rooted in God's faithfulness. And we see just how comprehensive this restoration is. The scattered are gathered, the blind, the lame are brought back home, mourning is turned to joy. God doesn't just restore the strong and the faithful. We need to keep that in mind. He restores the vulnerable. There's exile, separation, longing, suffering, weeping, regret. But God held to his promise. And I think in some ways, especially to the vulnerable, especially to those who are the brokenhearted or suffering, God's heart is with them, and we're pointed that direction too. And so we see, I think, this connection then to the new birth, the birth we have in Christ. It's like in, I'll go back to good old Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. We come to this place of a renewal where we can live again, a new chance. We have forgiveness. We have restoration. We have healing, security, joy, reconciliation. God brings his people in this moment. All that promise begins for us. It gives us a picture of our future life. Even as we struggle here. You know, it'd be kind of like a big family reunion. You know, maybe a family has been scattered, not been together for years and years. And with, you know, a lot of families and conflicts, maybe relationships that have been broken. Then you have a big family reunion. And then there's that coming together. Now, that coming together doesn't really change some of the issues, maybe some of the problems, arguments, fights, whatever it may be. But there's a joy in gathering. There's a joy of being together. And that's kind of what this is. It's coming together and being together, whole and together again, that Jeremiah reminds us and points us to Christ in that gathering that we have. You know, separation does not have the final word. And Jeremiah offers that kind of hope. God gathers what's been scattered. He restores what has been damaged. Now, this promise of restoration then, I think, raises a question, right? How does God carry out in the lives of people who are still hurting? There's this promise of healing, of restoration, of reconciliation, of all this goodness, and yet many still suffer. Many, many are still struggling. We all struggle. The psalm here responds, I think, by shifting our focus from the grand promises that we can hang on to, which are true, but kind of reminds us of his intimate care, how he is God with us. And not distant. It tells us God's healing and restoration. The psalm moves from praise to assurance. And it's interesting because it doesn't seem that way. But again, as I read it over and over again, we see this picture of God who made everything, commands everything. And then there's this picture of seasons. Commands the cold. Who can stand before it? And sometimes maybe we feel like that. We're in that now. You know, in the months to come here, January, February, is always kind of a slog, right? We're kind of, oh, God, when's it going to be? It's just barren, it's dead, and it's cold. But there's always that promise of spring. Now, right now, we don't see it right away, but we know it's coming. And then it slowly, slowly comes in. So he said, he sends out his word and melts them. He makes the wind blow and the waters flow. There's that picture of a healing, a restoration that just happens. And that's God's promise to us. As we are in Christ, as we come to him, this psalm kind of points us to that care that he gives us, little by little, moving along. It's not abstract. It's a real thing. He you know, strengthens the bars, the gates. He gives us that protection, safety, stability. He gives the snow. He shows us in the daily rhythms of life, his care as we live day by day. You know, healing is not limited to big dramatic events. It's often this slow process. It unfolds in quiet and sustaining ways. God has a heart for those who are brokenhearted, and he binds up those wounds. And the psalm gives us this picture of how to know these things. He said in that psalm, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes to the rulers of Israel. That's how you know God. He reveals himself. And in this picture that we have of a baby born and living his life, that is to know God in a real way, face to face, tangible, right there with you. The kingdom of God is here and it's coming. You know, we could consider it the slow healing of an injury. You know, I remember, you know, a few years ago when I broke my arm and just how painstakingly slow it seemed to go. You know, months, you know, weeks and weeks before I could take the cast off. And then after that, I couldn't move my hand for weeks and weeks. And real fear in my heart, you know, that would I be able to play my guitar again? You know, I was generally concerned. But in the weeks of physical therapy and moving, as I slowly started to move and go, and then it came about. And then that's just a picture of our lives. We wonder. It seems like we're struggling now and nothing seems to change. And we just plod and plod and plod, and yet the healing is happening. We see little glimpses of it, little breakthroughs, knowing that ultimately, in the resurrection, when he comes again, we will see that fullness in him. The psalm invites us to trust in this healing work, that it is continuing, it is happening, even if we don't see it. Now, if Jeremiah tells us that God restores, and the psalm assures us that God heals, the Apostle Paul blows us away in helping us to understand who we are becoming, who we really are in Christ through that restoration and healing process. This scripture, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, it's on my Mount Rushmore of scripture passages. It really is. We've talked about this before, right? We went through Ephesians several years ago. I remind you that this section 3 through 14 is one sentence. It's Paul just starting out on something, a thought, and then it just seems like he just bursts. And he goes on and on and on and on. I think just in his own excitement, his own realization and understanding of what God is doing and what he's done, and he just lets it all out. It is quite amazing. It overflows with praise. Almost like rushing ahead of himself. He speaks of blessings, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, inheritance. These words that I could sit here on each one of those and talk and talk and talk. And these are not things that or rewards that we earn. They're gifts. He goes to that later in Ephesians, right? For by grace we are saved. They're given in Christ before we can even ask for them. Paul here frames salvation not as a moment, you know, and you know, we often sometimes do that. We gotta be careful. I mean, there is a moment, I think, but salvation is that process. We are saved and being saved. He's working in us. We're becoming the people that he wants us to be. It's a transformation of identity. You know, our culture is really wrapped up sometimes in identities, who we are as people. You know, be it, you know, personality tests or who we are in our jobs, who we are in our families, the roles we play, father, mother, grandparent, and we get wrapped up in who am I? Who am I? Where do I fit? What am I supposed to do? And Paul frames our identity in Christ. We are chosen, named, sealed by his Spirit. Our lives are drawn up into the larger picture of God in the fullness of time. This passage reminds us that church and faith is not just about forgiveness of sins, but about belonging to a redeemed community and a future shaped by grace. Again, but all these things, I mean, adoption. How amazing is that? God adopted us, saw us in our struggle, gave us the Holy Spirit, gave us all these things, redeem us, save us, all of it. And he gives us joy. And this joy, that's where it comes from. This is where it comes from. That realization of who we are in Christ. I mean, you think of a family that adopts a child. Say maybe the child's a little bit older, has understanding of the world. Maybe he's been rejected or an orphan, whatever it may be. And a family adopts them, gives them a name, gives them a heritage, gives them a family, gives them security, safety, love, acceptance. And they can be just brought in, not because of anything they did or anything, just that a couple of people saw them, saw the need, and loved them. Now, it's interesting, in this example, again, of maybe a child who's older and can understand, that child has a choice, right? They can accept this adoption. They can accept and fully believe and understand who they are with this family, or they could reject it. They could say, I don't want to belong to this family. I don't feel like I am part of this. You know, and we have that choice too. We do. God said, I've adopted you. You believe in me, you're mine. But then how we live each day, how we treat other people, how we orient our lives and who we are, is that acceptance and believing that real adoption that we have. Again, there's so much more here, but all of this, all right? Restoration from Jeremiah, healing from the psalmist, the blessings, the great blessings in Christ from Paul. Leads us then to the words that John gives us. John points us to what underlies all of it. A deeper truth. Something that's greater, that's cosmic in nature. It is the Word become flesh. The Scripture in John takes us beyond a manger, beyond a baby, beyond flesh and blood, and just reminds us of who this is. The Word before creation. The Word that spoke and out of nothing came everything. this beginning, this is God. And the same word that created everything, that holds everything together, is the same word that chose to be with us, to completely humble themselves, to completely humiliate themselves for our sakes. He comes into us human, not from a distance, but as light into darkness, as grace and truth and flesh. It's a good reminder, one we have to hang on to, that God does not save from afar. He doesn't just speak a word and you all take care of it. He comes. He enters. He understands. He comes near. In Christ, in this baby, and as he grows, God's promises become visible, touchable, and personal. God's word becoming flesh and dwelling among us is a profound mystery and a great, great promise. And it again reminds us of this new beginning, this ultimate new beginning, that in this birth and life and then death and resurrection, we are brought into a new humanity, humanity as we're supposed to be, that continues on until it becomes complete. You imagine a leader of a big corporation, say, I don't know, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, right? Sprawling millionaire, right? Imagine Jeff Bezos putting his jeans and hat on and going down to an Amazon warehouse and just getting right in there and putting patches together and really understanding what these people go through. It's kind of like that, right? He doesn't sit from afar and say, well, take care of that or take care of that. He gets right into it. A real understanding and a real compassion then for those that he's coming to save. So we see these themes that the lectionary brings us through. God's promise of restoration. God's healing and restoration. The incredible spiritual blessings in Christ and the cosmic event of the Word become flesh. And it brings us to this unified message that the God who restores, heals, and blesses is the God who dwelled among us, is that God who was born as a little child. Christmas continues to speak. The Word still enters broken places. God is still gathering scattered lives. He is still healing and helping. He is still calling us into this identity and purpose. And so as we move forward now in this new year, in the days ahead, we want to do so, trusting that this light that's shown in the darkness, that the darkness that we may see around us will not overcome it, cannot overcome it. That's good news. All these struggles. You know, little Henry, barely coming to this world, struggling so much. Hope maybe hanging by a thread, not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. As a parent, that'd be the most terrible thing. And yet, even there, God says, I am here, I'm with you because I showed you. And I came to you. So we are invited today to remember, to put ourselves into that story and enjoy new beginnings. Just like a new year, we are always being made new and we have that opportunity. Don't linger, don't wallow. I am susceptible to wallowing. I am. It's frustrating sometimes. But this reminds us of who we are, of everything God has done, and the promise that He is, even slowly, in ways we don't see, He is constantly healing and restoring and moving us step by step. Even as we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're reminded of that great promise today. And that's the message of Christmas. We want to hang on to that throughout the year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful to You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for these words that we looked at today. And just help us, God, to lift our chins up and just see that You are here, that You are with us, that in You we have everything, that nothing can come against us, that nothing can bring us down, that whatever may come, Your promise is to heal, restore, and ultimately bring us into that great restoration with You. And so we look forward to that. I pray that we would live in lives worthy of that. Help us to remind each other to help and to trust You along the way. And we thank You for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together, and you can turn your hymnal if you wish to number 117.